National has revealed it would expect judges to hand out tougher sentences if it's in power, even though the judiciary is independent and shouldn't be swayed by the government. Among the party's law and order ideas released today in a discussion document is a proposal for a new armed strike force to, quote, harass gangs. It's modelled on Australia's strike force Raptor Squad. National would also push for longer or cumulative sentences, and it's floating a second chance system where some young offenders with a one-off conviction will be able to earn a clean slate. Its justice spokesperson Mark Mitchell says when they're in power, law and order will be done differently.
We have a very strong focus on sending the signal right now to organised crime and gangs in New Zealand that you're going to face policies next year that the country has not seen before, and we're tired of the misery and the harm that you bring to our communities, and we're going to do something about it.
What do you mean, policies they've never seen before?
Well, number one, with the Strike Force Raptor, all we're doing is we're sort of taking a model that the New South Wales Police have used. It's been very, very successful in driving out the organised outlaw motorbike-type gangs. Of course, it's going to be specific to us. We've got some big advantages. That's been very successful. We're going to take that model, but we're going to expand it. And it's going to mean that you're going to see a big specialised squads that have got a capability right from a forensic and fraud analysis type capability to a dedicated team that can generate a search warrant or a prosecution file right through to the front line, kicking the doors in at 3 o'clock in the morning, recovering stolen property and firearms and preventing crime.
Okay, so that special unit that you're talking about, currently we've got a gang intelligence unit. It involves social development, police, customs, corrections, internal affairs, immigration, and they take a so-called Al Capone approach, which has been mentioned by Stuart Nash, which is, you know, looking at benefit fraud, tax crimes, getting them by any means necessary. How is what you are proposing any different to what we've already got?
So we will take that and make no mistake, the police have tried for decades in terms of, and have done a good job in many respects in terms of specialised gang units and intelligence units and organised crime units. What we're proposing to do is we're going to turn this. Those units are all, they're not 24/7. There is a disconnect and they can be a little bit disjointed. We're going to do a joined up approach. We're going to have big squads that are going to be operating 7 days a week, 24/7. They can go anywhere in the country, and their whole focus is quite simply disrupting and targeting gangs and organised crime.
You call it harassing gangs. What do you mean by that?
Well, just exactly
Those are your words and your policy, harass the gangs.
So just exactly what it says is that we are going to harass them. We are not going to... We want to put so much pressure on them that they want to leave a life of crime. They want to actually sit down and reflect and realise that society is saying that we are not going to accept the way that you behave anymore.
And what do you mean by take back control? Control of what?
Well, control of, for example, I had a meeting with some people from Huntley who are very community-minded. They've been working down there. They're Huntley residents. They've seen the intergenerational social issues that are associated with gangs. They want a solution. They want to break that cycle. They want to move in a more positive direction. So we will get alongside them and we will help them. Now, we will use our social investment model, and right alongside that, we'll use our policies around...
So what are you taking control back of then? People?
Well,
assets?
People in the community actually want to feel like their police have got control of the streets, not the gangs.
And so if you go around the country at the moment... Do police not have control of the streets at the moment?
There's a very strong argument to be made that that a lot of Kiwis would like to see the police given the tools and the support and even the political will to go out there and actually show very clearly that there's zero tolerance for the gangs, and that they're actually going to show that they're controlling the streets and not the gangs.
But again, my question was, do the police not have control of the streets at the moment?
Let me give you an example. I've had, in the last 2 months, I've had people come to me and say that they're getting out of the security industry in the Auckland CDB because gangs now are carrying guns and they're using them.
And so you don't think, dangerous. You personally, do you think the police have control of the gang situation?
In that situation, the police need to crack down much harder and make sure that the gangs aren't carrying firearms, and they need the tools to be able to do that. That's why we have our firearm protection orders.
We'll get to that in a minute, but I'd just like, you know, a straightforward answer here. Do the police have control of the situation or not?
I think the police are doing the best that they can, but we could do a lot better.
So what tools do they lack that they need to do this?
Well, I think in our discussion document we've been clear about Strike Force Raptor, and I think that that's going to be a huge circuit breaker in terms of we've never seen anything
like this. So the name, that unit is what, say again?
It's in New South Wales they call it Raptor. So that's the name of it. That's not the name of the unit that we'll put together next year or propose next year.
Are they armed?
Yes, they are.
And so if you were making a similar unit here, would you have those officers armed at all times?
You would definitely have armed officers as part of that unit, without a doubt.
And what other tools would they have available to them?
So they'd have
search powers.
They'd have forensic investigation capability. Yes, we're proposing to tighten up around the gangs in terms of they have to be able to show where their revenue is coming from, how they're buying expensive assets and houses and things like that. They're going to have an ability to be able to generate the paperwork required.
Searching without a warrant?
No, to get search warrants.
Right.
So they'll have that organic capability. They'll have the ability to be able to put a prosecution file together quickly and get it in front of the court quickly. They'll have the ability to... They'll have armed officers, so they can respond to frontline threats with armed gangs. They'll have the frontline guys that kick the doors in at 3 o'clock in the morning to execute a search warrant, recover stolen property.
Is that how you beat the gangs, by kicking in the door at 3 o'clock in the
morning? That's part of the tool, without a doubt, absolutely.
Brute force?
Gangs use brute force. Gangs use intimidation and violence. It's a big part of their tool, and that is part of the harassment actually that will occur, is that this they will have. If they choose to pursue a life of crime, if they choose to create harm to the community, then they have to realise that there's going to be a warrant, and the door will be getting kicked in at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Because some people listening to this might think that sounds like battling thugs with your own authorised thugs.
Well, you might think that, but you know, we have a world-class police force that are extremely professional, and they'll be motivated and they'll be given the support to go out there and make sure that we start to dismantle organised crime in New Zealand. There is nothing positive, there is nothing good about it, and we're very lucky that we have a world-class police force an enormous capability that can do it.
But a world-class police force that you currently think can't get the job done.
No, they can get the job done.
Then why do you need this special strike force?
Because they're going to come together now with a focus inside a strike force where they'll be able to do even more. So we're going to enable them and we're going to put even more pressure on the gangs. We've never done this before in New Zealand. It's time to do it. We've sort of messed around on the fringes and the edges for a long, long time in terms of how we deal with gangs and organised crime, and we're going to make a concerted, focused effort in making sure that we can purge and do as much to get rid of organised crime and gangs in New Zealand as we can.
So are these going to be police officers? Are they going to be soldiers? Will they be wearing uniforms? What are you talking about?
They'll be our existing law enforcement intelligence agencies that will be involved in this. So it'll be our police officers, and part of our policy and our document is the fact that we're going to probably increase the policy around authorised officers, the use of authorised officers,
right,
which will free up more frontline officers that can actually...
The sworn officers that are going to be part of this strike force, will they have any greater powers than their work colleagues, uniformed work colleagues patrolling the streets?
No, they won't.
OK. We're running out of time, but I do want to address a couple of things with you, which is this idea of sentencing. Mm-hmm. OK, so cumulative sentences, where you will add the sentences one on top of the other, mm-hmm. and the person will serve the whole duration of the sentence. I mean, potentially, does that mean we'd have American-style sentence lengths like 30, 40, 50 years for some people?
Well, I mean, we just want more flexibility around that, because sometimes concurrent sentencing isn't fair. It doesn't actually reflect the seriousness of the offending.
But potentially that's what you could have, isn't it, sentences of that duration?
Well, that's going to be up to the judge, but absolutely there's potential that depending on how serious the offending is. But let me give you a clear example, is that I had a debate in the House with the current Minister, Andrew Little, over the fact that he characterised a indecent assault on a female corrections officer as a pinch on the bottom. And so we're going to pass some rules to say that was actually no woman should be able to should be in their workplace and be subjected to something like that. If you want to offend like that, then actually the sentence will be cumulative, not concurrent. So we want to send a very clear signal that type of offending is completely, totally unacceptable, and we do take it seriously, not mm-hmm. like the current government.
So, I mean, National's been very clear that it's going to have an evidence-based justice policy. So what evidence is there that long sentences like that actually prevent reoffending or aid rehabilitation?
Well, number one is I'd have to look and see what the evidence is there, but in terms of a
prison... So you've suggested the policy without knowing the evidence?
No, in terms of this policy, we're very clear about it, is that if you want to offend and it's serious offending like that, then we're going to give the judges the ability to make it to have a cumulative instead of a concurrent
sentence.
But
having
sentencing.
Clear intentions and doesn't mean you have evidence to support it. Well, so
very quickly, in terms of rehabilitation, so when they're in prison, of course we want to rehabilitate them. We want them to come out and rejoin society. But let me be very clear. The reason why primarily we put people into prisons is because they're creating harm and victims out in the community. And our primary focus is always making sure that we prevent more harm. And so that's why you're seeing very strong policies like this contained within the document.
Judges already can decide at the moment whether a sentence should be cumulative or concurrent. I mean, how are they doing with balancing that?
Well, we want to send much stronger signals to the judiciary on that in terms of how they're going to approach.
So you're sending the judiciary signals here about what you think they should be doing in terms of sentencing?
Well, it's very clear in the discussion document that that's exactly what we're saying.
So aren't they doing their jobs properly at the moment?
No, I think everyone inside our criminal justice system is highly motivated to do the right thing and do their jobs.
But have that choice already. So why do you need to send them a signal? Is it because they're not passing sentences as you would like them to?
Because our criminal justice system does respond to the government of the day and the signals that they send, without a doubt. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing an increase in gang numbers. We're seeing a reduction in prosecutions being brought.
So why do you
in
think
criminal
that is?
Offending. We're seeing more prisoners being released because the justice system will respond to the government of the day.
And the justice system is being influenced by government.
Of course it is.
Of course
it's influenced. Absolutely.
And sentences are being influenced by that as well?
Well, like I said to you, the whole justice system will take note. And in terms of the signals and the legislation and the wishes of the government of the day. So we're signalling because we're going to be fighting the election very hard.
So just on that point, and I'm sorry to interrupt, you raised some significant issues there. So what work has been done on that? Because I'm really interested to know what evidence there is around sentencing and the way the court is receiving these messages from the government and how they're acting. Has there been any work on that?
I'd have to get it for you, but I'd point you to a report that the Justice Department itself came out with where they said that there is a response in the justice sector to the signals that was being sent by the government. So they've said that themselves, right? The actual justice, the Ministry of Justice. So that is what happens, is that if we come into government, we're going to be sending a very clear signal to our justice system that we want to go, that we've got a big focus on gangs, and we're going to disrupt them, we're going to harass them, we're going to try and dismantle them as much as we can next year. And we hope that actually our justice system will respond to that.
Yeah, so what is your message to the judiciary then around that? What's your message?
Well, so basically, if it's serious offending, we would rather see a focus on cumulative sentences rather than concurrent. It's as simple as that.
And so that's National's justice spokesperson, Mark Mitchell. Checkpoint sought comment from the Minister of Justice about Mr. Mitchell's claim the judiciary is influenced by the government of the day. Justice Minister Andrew Little says this is an outrageous slur on the independence of the judiciary and the separation of powers from Mr. Mitchell.